Right. Love that song. Amen.
Amen.
Like it. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Amazing Grace.
Morning.
Amen. Let us pray.
Call it
Marcella Father God, we say, come, Holy Spirit, join us in this place this morning, Father. We thank you for everyone gathered here, Lord. We ask that you bless this time, Father, and we thank you that you first loved us, Father, that we may love others, Lord, the same way you love us, and that we treat others in kind because you first treated us. And we just, we thank you for these amazing words this morning. We thank you for, as my sermon title says, that out of the abundance of our hearts, because of the love you have for us, speaks the fruit of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so that's my sermon title, Out of the Abundance of the Heart, the Mouth Speaketh. That's Matthew 12:34. I thought it was fitting for my text today. Amen. So, whatever we say or do comes from the heart. Amen. Whatever we say or do comes from the heart. And whether we're, you know, and in today's text, whether we're judging other people, producing good or bad fruit, or just building a foundation of faith, it all comes from the heart. Everything comes from our heart. And it all stems from having a heart for Jesus Christ. Amen. When we have a heart for Jesus Christ, then it's easier to have a heart for others. Amen. Amen. There was a man named John who was driving home late one night, and he picked up a hitchhiker. And as they were driving home, as they rode along, he began to be suspicious of the passenger. And so John checked to see if his wallet was safe in the pocket of his coat that was on the seat in between them, okay? And that was the best picture I could get. But his wallet wasn't there, okay? So he slams on the brakes and he orders the hitchhiker out. He said, get out and hand over my wallet immediately. So the frightened hitchhiker hands over his billfold, right? And John drives off. And when he arrived home, he was starting to tell his wife about what had happened. But she interrupted him and she said, before I forget, John, do you know that you left your wallet on the counter this morning before you left? Amen. So the point is, don't judge people. Don't be too quick to judge people. Amen? Amen? So we continue in the sermon on the plain today, and Jesus is now going to teach about how or when we should or shouldn't judge other people. That's what he's going to be talking about. And or one of the things, anyways. And how we should be showing God's love and mercy through our actions, through the fruit of our lives. And you know, we should do that because God first showed us. Amen? And that's what it's really about, because God first showed us. And another definition of that, of today's lesson, is just plainly, don't be a hypocrite. Amen? That's basically what the lesson is saying. Don't be a hypocrite. And Jesus says, don't pretend to be something that you're not. Don't pretend to be something that you're not. Don't condemn other people, but instead give them the kind of mercy that we want God to give us. So show that same kind of mercy to other people. Amen? And because we're all sinners, right? We're all sinners. We all fall short, and we all need God's mercy. So our first verses say that the famous words, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Pretty easy to understand them words there, amen? Can anyone tell me what law these verses are speaking of? What law this is? Stephen? Pretty much, yeah, but they call it, this one in particular was the law of sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. So we get what we give out, right? So it's basically the same thing, but you know, we're going to get what we give, amen, basically. And Galatians chapter 6 talks about. It says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whosoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whosoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So basically it's saying if we sow anger, if we show and sow anger and hatred and condemnation, that's what we're going to get back. Amen? When we're out there on the streets, when people are out there on the streets, you know, fighting with people and arguing with people all the time, they get that same thing back, right? But if they're out there, you know, giving God's word and praying for people, then you're going to get that feeling of love back. Amen? And but if we show compassion, acceptance, and forgiveness, that's what we'll get back as well. Amen? And that's what we want. If we are judging someone, a lot of times what we're doing is condemning them. And that's what Jesus is talking about here, the judgment of condemnation. Okay? To not condemn others, because that's, in a way, you're punishing them. And the Bible says that we cannot judge what is in someone's heart. We can't judge. We can't just guess, oh, this person's a bad person just by, you know, we can't judge what's in their heart. Only God can judge what's in a person's heart. Amen? We may look at someone and think, you know, why are they ignoring us? Or why are they always in a bad mood? Why are they in a bad mood today? And why? How come they're not speaking to me, right? When in reality, they just found out yesterday that their child has leukemia. You know, we don't know what people are going through. We can't read their hearts like God can. Amen? And there was once a Christian conference speaker who misjudged a man as well. This man kept falling asleep in the front row of his lecture that he was given. And he said, obviously this man lacked spiritual interest in my conference. And he said, you know, but right after that, the speaker's judgment flipped 180 degrees when the man's wife came up and said, you know, my husband is very ill and very medicated, and he begged the doctors to let him come to this conference to hear his favorite speaker. You know? And so do not judge others by their outward appearance or their demeanor, because we just never know, right? We should always act in love and peace, just like Jesus does, just like Jesus would. Now, pagans or non-believers, they're very quick to quote this verse when a Christian or a spiritual leader calls them out for their sins, right? Oh, judge and don't be judged, right? Don't judge me, right? The Bible says, don't judge, right? You're not supposed to judge others. Only God can judge me, right? A lot of people say that, right? Only God can judge me, amen? I think I got a picture of that. That's Tupac, if you can't tell. But only God can judge me, right? But the kind of judgment that these pagans are referring to, like I said a little while ago, is the judgment of condemnation. Okay? It's a judgment of condemnation. And yes, we should not be condemning others in the name of Christ. For it says, do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. We should not be condemning others. But the kind of judgment that Jesus is not referring to here is a judgment of discernment. Okay? We are called to judge people in a judgment of discernment. Okay? And I'll explain that. From the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, God calls us to have a mind of discernment to decide what is the right thing to do. Amen? What is the ethical thing to do? And for this, we must have a keen judgment of other people. We must be able to judge other people. And some of us are better at it than others. Amen? I know my wife's really good at it, but but God's word calls us to be mature in our discernment of other people. God's word calls us to be mature in our discernment. And so that we can recognize evil when it's amongst us, right? And that we can run from it, turn and run from the evil. So we have to discern people. And that's a form of judgment, okay? But that's not the judgment that Jesus is talking about here. And Jesus expands beyond simply judging others, and he says, forgive as well. Forgive and you will be forgiven. In our Celebrate Recovery lesson number 17, it says, have you forgiven others who have hurt you? Have you forgiven others who have hurt you? And it says that you must let go of the pain of the past harm and abuse caused by others. And until you're able to release it and forgive it, it will continue to hold you prisoner. Romans 12 says, 17 and 18 says, do not repay anyone evil for evil, and be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Be the light in the world. Amen? That's what Jesus would do, right? This is what Jesus would do. As Christians, we're called to a different standard. We're called to a different standard. People are watching us, right, and judging us. Amen? We're called to a different standard. Paul was telling us, and Jesus is telling us in this text, that our forgiveness towards others is more about our peace than theirs. When we're forgiving other people for what they did to us, it's for the peace in our hearts, the peace in our minds. And this is how we receive that peace that is beyond understanding, right? The peace that the world, secular world, can't understand, right? Because we're forgiving people that have hurt us. Now, when we sow in love, we can reap great rewards as well. And we can build strong relationships in the body of Christ. And besides, doesn't it feel good to love and to be good to others, right? When we get into that habit of loving other people and being good to them and doing, you know, outreach and stuff like that, it feels good to do that stuff. Amen? It can be hard work sometimes, but it feels good to do that. That's our human nature. That should be our human nature when we're in the Spirit. Amen? When we're in the Spirit. And on the good side of sowing and reaping, God says that when you give, He will actually give back to you more than you give. Amen? And that's hard for the world to understand sometimes too, right? That when we give, God always gives back more than we give. Jesus encourages the Christian to give without fearing. To give without fearing that we will become... We can't live in fear that we're going to become the loser when we give, right? When we give, we can't say, oh, if I give this money, I'm not going to be able to pay that, or, you know, I'm going to end up losing in this situation. He wants us to set us free from the fear of giving too much. And this is so true, and it's been tested by many of us in this church. Amen? In the church in general. Simply said, it says we cannot outgive God. We cannot outgive God. That's amazing, right? And we don't want our families to miss out. We're the family. We're the family of Christ. Amen? We don't want anybody to miss out on the blessing that God has for you. The Lord even says in Malachi 3, I love this text right here. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. That's the only time that God says to test him in the Bible. Amen? Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. I'm going to comment on those especially on that second verse there here in a minute. But right now, I have a couple testimonies of people in the church who have experienced the blessing of giving your tithe or tithing to the church. Amen? We're going to listen to a couple testimonies right now. Ricky, you want to come up? We'll let the president go first. Amen? We'll let the president go first. Thank you, brother. Amen.
Yeah. Can you guys hear me okay? All right. I think for Veronica and I, for us and our giving, it's been increasing over the years. But, you know, as we were in school, we continued to give. When Veronica left her job to go to school full time, we continued tithing as we normally were. And it was a struggle, but we made it through. So, and just looking back, like, you don't even think about the money being there or just not having the money available because you're giving it to the church. So that's been a blessing for us, and we're just blessed to be in a position where we can give to the church and give to others. If you missed the class over the last 4 weeks, it was Live Generously with Financial Freedom. And the class really is about just developing your skill level and growing in your faith. And as you develop those skills, you're going to be able to make more money, yes. But really the goal is to be able to give more. So be in a position where not necessarily money, tithing is your time, talent, and treasure. So be in a position where you can give your money, you can give your talent or your skill, or you're in a position to help someone else. So if someone else is saying they're struggling with something and, you know what, I've been through that before in my life, here's what I did, like that's part of your tithing. So it's just about being there for others and being there for our community, and just continue to develop your skills, continue to grow, find something that you're not good at, find somebody in the church that is good at it, learn from them. So find different ways to leverage the knowledge and skills that you have and learn about the knowledge and skills that others have so that you can be a blessing to everyone around you. So.
Thank you, Ricky. Thank you. Marcella, did you mind?
So when I moved into House of Grace, I was financially at ground zero, pretty much. But I got a job, and I worked, and I saved. And so I slowly, by increment, built up to 10%. It was a tough punching in those numbers on the calculator, but I built myself up. I like to do things gradually, so I just did it bit by bit, so it wasn't a shock to me, so I got used to it. But most of my tithing that brings me the most joy is my time and my treasures. When I work up here with the pastors, I'm volunteer. I'm not an employee. When I volunteer at CR, that's from my heart. As most of you know, I do my ministry work in the park with the homeless every Saturday. But a lot of the time, it might be a Wednesday evening, I'm in my room, I'm bagging up wipes for hygiene packages and scouring sales to buy toothbrushes and toothpaste. Obviously that's part of my tithing financially, but it's my time. I give up my time, I bag up all that stuff, and I go out to the park and I preach to the people. That's a lot of my the time. And at House of Grace, we are on the rotation to cook dinner for our Bible study. So that's our time and our treasure and our talents, because some of our ladies are quite good. So we give all of our time and our talent, and it brings me so much joy. And of course, for me, the most joy is my time and my treasure to being with people, giving to people. That brings me so much love, and it's a whole circle.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Marcella. Thank you, Ricky. So it's not just about, you know, about our giving of funds, of money. It's about our talents and our time, as well as our treasure. Amen. And the church, they say God doesn't need our money. Amen. God's church is gonna grow with or without our money, but it's a blessing for us to give back to God what he's already given us. Amen. and He will bless our lives. And I got an example of that. I always use our wedding example, but I got a new example. And this past year, last half of last year and the first half of this year, me and my wife, we've been tithing for years, but we continued to give our tithe. My wife had to quit her job for a number of reasons, but we continued to tithe, and through the time that she wasn't working, and we had no medical insurance, we had no vision, no dental, we had lost all of our benefits, but we continued to tithe, and you know, like it says here in Malachi 3:11, it says, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. And basically what that's saying is, you know, sometimes it's not about the provision that God provides for us, but it's about the lack of a need for provision. Amen? And when I was a baby Christian, I used to say, yeah, you know, it's like if I give, then my transmission is not going to break in my car. You know, I used to say stuff like that. But then I read Malachi 3:11, and I'm like, there it is. You know, that's what it's about, you know? God's favor in our lives, you know what I mean? A relationship. And part of that relationship is listening to God and what God tells us in His Word. And in His Word, He tells us to give a tithe as part of our relationship to Christ. Amen? And I didn't need any dental work. I think I paid $50 to get a cleaning one time or something like that. But it was amazing. And then as soon as my wife went back to work, she's working for the state, so the insurance was automatic. And as soon as she got back to work, I needed to go to the doctor, and I had to go get my glasses. And it was just like God's perfect timing, God's perfect provision, and all that. You know, and we didn't miss a step on our tithing, and that's how God works. Amen. And thank you guys for giving your testimonies. I appreciate that. So the blessing isn't always about provision. And the rest of the verse says, a good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. We get what we give in a relationship, right? Whether it's a friend or our wives or our relationship with God, we get what we give in our relationships. Amen? And but keep in mind, the verse speaks so not so much of giving material things as it talks about giving love. Okay? In these relationships, it's about loving each other as well. Amen? Loving, blessings, forgiveness. We can never lose when we give these things in Jesus' name. When we live that way, we can't lose. We will live in peace, and we will live in Jesus' name. Amen? Then verse 39 says, He also told them this parable. It's another famous parable, okay? Can the blind lead the blind, or will they both fall into the pit? When we're struggling in life or trying to grow in our faith walk, do we seek the advice of someone else who is struggling? We shouldn't be doing that, right? We don't seek the advice of someone else who is struggling. When we're looking for a mentor or a teacher, as the disciples for Christ were doing, we need someone who's going to challenge us and someone who's going to encourage us. And someone who's a living testimony of a victory in Christ. That should be our role model, right? Amen? And when we're going through our lives blind and struggling, we need someone with a vision to lead us. When we're going through our lives blind, we need someone with the vision to lead us, not someone else who's blind as well. Amen? And so the blind cannot safely lead the blind. And some of us find this out the hard way, right? Some of us have found this out the hard way, that the blind cannot lead the blind. And God's word says that if the blind leads the blind, they will both fall into a ditch. They will both fall into a ditch. That pretty much breaks it down, right? Amen? Verse 40 says, the student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. This is saying that in our discipleship, we must always search for someone that is better equipped than us. With Jesus being the prime example, amen? But this is saying that, this is how we grow and this is how we learn. We study and we follow great examples in our lives, and we always test them to the Word of God. The ultimate example, of course, is Jesus Christ. And as we're taught by Him and grow in Him, we become more and more like Him. Sanctification, right? We become more and more like Him. Romans 8:28 says, "For God foreknew, and He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son." God already knew that we were going to want to be more and more like His Son. Amen? And that's how we should be living our lives. Verse 41 says, and I got a great picture for this one. "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye,' when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." And there it is. He says, "Hey, bub, you have a little something in your eye there." Right? The picture's pretty funny, but it's true. Amen? It's very true. Jesus is saying that we're usually much more tolerant of our own sins than we are of the sins of others, right? We're a lot of us can be, just our human nature is quick to judge others when we're sinning ourselves, amen. And a perfect example of this in the Bible is of someone else's of ignoring someone else's sins, right? And or looking at someone else's sins and ignoring our own is the story of the religious leaders who brought the woman who committed adultery to Jesus. Remember that? When they brought the woman who had committed adultery to Jesus. And yeah, she had sinned, but their sin was much worse, right? They wanted to stone her to death, right? Their sin was much worse. And Jesus would call them out by saying those famous words, right? "Let him who was without sin throw the first stone," right? And what did they do? They all dropped their stones, right? They all dropped their stones and walked away. We should never try to correct someone else when we have committed the same sins or even greater falser sins. Amen? We should not be judging others lest we be judged ourselves. This just makes us a hypocrite. This just makes us a hypocrite. Leave the judgment to God. Amen? Spurgeon says that Jesus is gentle, but He calls the man a hypocrite who fusses about small things in others and pays no attention to great matters at home in his own person. We must first bring our sins to the cross in our lives. First bring our sins to the cross. That way we can be forgiven and our log can be removed, right? So that we can see better the speck in our brother's eye. Amen? We must first go to the cross with our own sins so that we can remove our log. We must always try to avoid those that talk the talk but don't walk the walk. We should always try to avoid those. Amen? Verse 43 says that no good tree bears bad fruit. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. That's what my lemon tree looks like in the summertime, in the wintertime. People, each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. Jesus is saying that our fruit is the result of who we are. What you see in our lives, the fruit of our lives, is the result of who we are, of what we've let into our lives. And though it may take time for the harvest to come, the fruit is going to be evident of the kind of tree that we are as a person. Amen? the fruit of our lives is going to be evident of the kind of person we are. And there's there is the connection, right? Good source, God, a good source equals good product, right? Bad source, no God, equals bad product. Amen? So to have good fruit is to have, to not have good fruit is basically to have evil in our lives. If we don't have good fruit in our lives, it's because we're allowing evil into our lives. So who are we a disciple of, right? Who are we a disciple of? Who are our teachers and who influences our lives? Who are we modeling after? Who is mentoring us and who do we surround ourselves with? That's another big key, right? Who do we surround ourselves with? Eventually, I say this a lot too in recovery, of course, but eventually we will become our environment. Amen? Eventually we will become our environment. Bible says that be careful that you don't fall. Amen? Be careful. Watch who you surround yourselves with and watch who you hang out with. Amen? And that's why Jesus said to use the judgment of discernment rather than condemnation. Because we have to discern if someone is a good person. If this person is someone that we want to mentor or that we want to mentor us. Or someone that we're going to be hanging out with. Amen? Pray about the decisions you make when choosing. And remember, the Bible says we can't pick figs from a thorn bush. Amen? We're not going to get good out of evil. We're not going to get good out of evil. And the man who bears no good fruit at all will also be cast into the fire. And that basically means that, you know, not only the wicked, but the atheists and those who do not repent will also be cast into the fire. Amen? Put Jesus first in your lives. Verse 45 says, that a good man brings the good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings the evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And that will always happen. The mouth is going to speak what our hearts are full of. If the source is bad, the byproduct will be bad. We can very easily be led astray by the counsel we receive from others. So remember, discernment. If we let bad in, bad will come out eventually. Bad will come out. Kaufman wrote, he said, "It is not the appearance of men, but their hearts which determine their character. And the unfailing guide to what is in men's hearts is their speech." Is their speech. A lot of times I say that, you know, in our recoveries, in our lives, and everybody, like I said a couple weeks ago, we're all in recovery from something. Amen? But the speech or our language, our bad language, if you will, is always one of the last things to go. Well, we got to remember that our speech, what comes out of our mouths, is a reflection of what's in our hearts. Amen? It's a reflection of what's in our hearts. So if we're following Christ, we shouldn't be using that kind of language, amen? We should be using clean language because that shows what's really in our hearts. If we're using foul language all the time, then we're revealing that we got that kind of hatred or that kind of anger in our hearts, amen? And we shouldn't have that. If we're followers of Christ, we shouldn't have that kind of speech. But our words a lot of times say more about us than we think, amen? Our words always say more about us than we think. And so Jesus is saying, if you're going to be a disciple, make sure your teacher is a righteous man as well. Make sure your teacher is a righteous man as well, a righteous man of God. You know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, right? What's in our hearts is going to come out of our mouths. So we should discern other people as well. Then verse 46 says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" We've heard and seen people that are always saying, you know, "I thank God for this, and I thank God for that." but their lives are full of sin. Amen? I see it all the time. And they have no regard for God's law. Some may use the term Sunday Christians sometimes, right? They're Christians on Sunday, and then the rest of the week they're out doing their thing, right? Doing whatever, you know, without any reproach. And so the people that definitely don't walk the walk, amen? And so just beware and be, you know, have that judgment of discernment of people, amen? Sometimes there's a lot of false witnesses out there. Be careful who you hang out with, and be careful who mentors you, who you're following, who you're looking up to. Amen? And verse 47 says that, "As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like." And they are like, this is, how do you like that, right? "Like a man who built his house on a good foundation," right? Verse 48 says, "They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a storm came, the torrent struck the house, but could not shake it because it was well built on good foundation. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck the house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete." That's a house that wasn't built on a good foundation. Amen? This speaks of lordship, which is a lot like discipleship, okay? If you're a disciple of Christ, that means that He is your Lord, and you should obey His word. If we're calling ourselves disciples of Christ, we should be obeying God's word. No compromise. Amen? Should be obeying His word. That's lordship. And that lordship will bring us that stability and that peace and that blessed assurance in our lives. When we're following God's word, that lordship brings us peace. Even if we live our lives for Jesus and follow all His commands, though, we're still going to face challenges in our lives. We are all still going to face challenges in our lives. But the difference is that we who built our lives on a strong foundation of faith will not be shaken. We will not be shaken. So if your life is a struggle and you feel like there's no hope sometimes, you know, then it might be time for us to take an inventory of our discipleship in Jesus Christ. If everything's going bad and you feel like there's no hope, you know, it might be time for us to check ourselves and make sure that we're following God's word. Amen? Because that's where the peace comes from. Living our lives for Christ. Living our lives right. Amen? Whether we're baby Christians or we've been, you know, saved for 30 years. Amen? We can all backslide. We should always remember to stay on the path of Jesus Christ. Amen? Ask yourself, say, am I really following Jesus in my life? If things are going wrong, ask yourself, am I really following Jesus in my life? Am I living a lie or am I living in the truth? Am I bearing good fruit for everybody to see or am I bearing bad fruit for everybody to see? Is Jesus the Lord of my life? Because remember, if we do these things, Jesus promises us that we will have stability in our lives. He doesn't say we won't have problems, but He tells us that we'll have stability to get us through these things in our lives. And we'll be tempted as well. But when the storm's over, we will say that God got us through it. We'll be able to say God got us through it. And the foundation of our lives and our faith is still standing because Jesus is our rock. Amen? Like the song says, right? The rock of ages. Jesus is our rock. Matthew Henry wrote, he said, "Those who take pains in religion found their hope upon Christ, who is the rock of ages. And other foundation can no man lay. In death and judgment they are safe, being kept by the power of Christ through faith unto salvation and they shall never perish. Amen, right? So live in the truth, live in the light, and live in God's word. And if, you know, it's what we were created for. We were created to live in that light. We were created to live in God's word. And it gives us that eternal hope. It gives us that hope for the hopeless that we talk about, right? And the blessed assurance, once again, the blessed assurance in our lives that no matter what we go through, God's in charge. And we know who already won the war, right? Amen? Amen? James, I want to read this text from James that talks about this as well, explains it pretty well. It says, James 1, 22 through 25 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." Don't forget who we are in Christ, and we will never be shaken. Don't forget, we should be able to look in that mirror and see who we are in Christ and not forget that. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Amen? All right, I wanted to recite the Serenity Prayer with you guys because it just felt fitting to this sermon today. Amen? So we're going to end this with the Serenity Prayer, okay? If you guys want to repeat this with me, hopefully you can all see it from back there. I'll start it off, okay? 1, 2, 3. God, grant me the serenity to one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that He will make all things right if I surrender to His will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with Him forever in the next. Amen, amen. God bless you guys. Thank you.
Well, happy Labor Day. I give thanks to all those.